Proverbs chapter 23, and once again we're going to read verse number 26. Verse 23, verse 26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your great goodness to us, Lord. We thank you that we can meet here in freedom today, and we can enjoy fellowship one with another and with you. And Lord, we just pray your blessing on this time that we have together. May you speak to each of us. And may we, Lord, understand so that we may give our hearts to you each day so that you might use them as you would desire. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we looked at this verse last week and considered the thought of it, and specifically that two things. One, that even though this was written by Solomon, then because it's inspired by God, that it is something that's written to us, that God wants us to give us our hearts, or give him our hearts. But that's what he desires. And as well, we also looked at various reasons why we should do so. That his request is not an unreasonable quest in any way. That it's actually makes a lot of sense when you really start thinking about it. And it's really only our flesh and its rebellion against God that causes us to be reluctant to do so. We considered how that there's many dangers from which our hearts may need to be protected, of how the devil seeks to lure us away to our own destruction. And so we need someone to look after them, to guard them, because we're often not vigilant. And that's, as well, we realize we should give our hearts to God because he's going to do a much better job of looking after our hearts than we will. That we tend to not have the vigilance, but we should. But as well, we considered that he's done everything necessary to win and to earn our hearts. That he gave his son to die for us. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for us. And we are not merely just forgiven, but we're also given his... we're able to become his children. That we're adopted into his family. We're given of him an inheritance that we can rejoice in, eternal inheritance, of which the Holy Spirit is just kind of the down payment, the earnest of that inheritance. And so we realize that yes, we should give our hearts to God, but the question is, how do we do so? And that's, I think, an important question that we need to answer with a lot of different things in the Christian life, is what we are to do, but how we are to do it. And as we consider this thought, where God says, as our Heavenly Father, my son and my daughter, give me thine heart, it helps to understand the word that is used there, forgive. In the Hebrew, it's nathan. And it has the idea of to entrust to devote, to consecrate, to dedicate, to commit, and to yield. And so we can think of that many different ways, where we entrust the keeping of our hearts to the Lord, that we give them over to him. As well, we have a devotion to God, that we devote our hearts to his purposes, to his service. And that is the idea of to consecrate, to dedicate, that it is to be his for his use, and it's for his holy use. And as well, it's to yield, where we give it to him. And that means that as we give it to him, we're not planning to take it back as soon as something seems strange or odd, that it's given and given completely. And as we consider this thought of giving God our heart, I think we also recognize that it isn't something where we give God just chunks of our heart. That we say, okay, you can have this part of my heart, but I am holding this part back. And that honestly can be our tendency, that we surrender and give our hearts to the Lord in certain areas of our life. But then there's others that we don't want Him to touch, that we're worried that He's going to do something that we don't want, do something that's going to hurt us, which we should understand is not going to happen because He's a loving God. That we hold back different parts, and there's kind of, you could compare a heart to being like a house with many rooms, and we let Him into some parts of the house, but then there's other rooms where we have the door locked and we don't want Him in, and we can't do that. That we suffer as a result when we do that. That God wants us to give us, or give Him all of our hearts, and so we want to learn to do that, and to learn to give it completely. But as well, we want to realize too that we're not just to give just our hearts to God, we're to give every part of ourselves to God. That we're to give our hearts, our minds, our body, our soul to Him. That we think of what Jesus said, if we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, that we have to be able to have that love. And love is always the thought of giving of oneself to others. And so it's giving all of our heart, giving all of our soul, giving all of our mind to the Lord Jesus. And so we want to understand that. And I actually find that the example that the believers of Macedonia give us in 2 Corinthians 8 really help give us a key to understanding this thought. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you turn there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, but he's speaking concerning the churches of Macedonia. And so we would recognize Philippi to be a church of Macedonia. We would also recognize Thessalonica and Berea to be churches of Macedonia. And we're familiar with some of their history. We think of, as Paul got started in Philippi, how Paul and Silas were thrown in prison for a time, and so they faced persecution there. And then, of course, we know that when he came to Thessalonica, they got the church started, but then they had to leave right away due to persecution. They went down to Berea, and the persecution followed them. And so Paul and Silas had to leave, but the believers were still there, functioning as churches in each of those cities. And they were continuing on, and the Lord was using them and blessing them. And so we see here, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 8, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And so they were under persecution, they were poor, but yet we find that they were giving to help Paul. It says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they are willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. But this was a thing that Paul knew, the struggles they faced, the poverty they faced, but yet they sent along this gift that was a very sacrificial gift to help Paul to start other churches and reach people in other cities. And really, you kind of see, like, Paul, knowing their situation, almost wanted to say, well, no, I can't take this. You guys need this. You guys are suffering. I'm not in the same position as you, but they asked, please take this. We want to help. We want to continue to be a part of your ministry. But we see verse 5, really the key to why they were doing this. It says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so we want to understand that yes, they give, and they gave sacrificially, but the reason why they had done that is because first they gave the most important gift of all, and that was themselves. that they said to the Lord that, Lord, we want to be used for your work, for your ministry. However, you can use us. We're willing to do that. And so they gave their own selves. And that's what we want to realize, that we can have material possessions that we can give, but more than anything else, God wants us to give ourselves, and to give ourselves first before we give any other thing, that He's not wanting to be impressed with great sacrifices and religious exercises. Rather, He wants to have that personal gift of our own hearts and lives to Him. And it's interesting, the word here, used here, first gave their own selves. The word is didymai, and its idea is, the word is to give to the one that's asking. And that's what we understand. God is asking for our hearts, and so we find that the churches of Macedonia, that they freely gave of that, of themselves to the Lord. But then as well, it's also the sense to give to one's care, to entrust and to commit. Because really, they were giving, and they were in poverty, and yet they were giving and putting themselves in a worse place financially by giving sacrificially. But yet, they had the trust to the Lord, okay, we're giving ourselves, we're giving this to you, Lord, and you're going to take care of us. And that's what we know, the principle in the Scriptures, that if we give, it's given to us. That the Lord always provides for us. That if we give, that there's always, He's not going to leave us hanging. A lot of times we find that he pours out a blessing on us beyond what we'd ever receive. And so often if we hold on to things ourselves, we end up missing out on seeing His blessing, seeing His work, seeing His provision that He wants to abundantly give to us. And so we learn from that, and we seek to follow the example of the churches of Macedonia. But that brings us to the thought that, answering the question, how do we give our hearts, how do we give our lives and every part of us to God? And want to think of it in three different ways that I hope can be a help to you. First of all, we give our hearts to God by the act of self-sacrifice. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, Paul says to the Romans and to us, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it's the thought here that understanding what God wants, desires from us, that we actually see God speak of this, that He was actually talking to His people because they were giving Him all these bulls and goats and sacrifice, but yet their hearts weren't right with Him. That He said, this is in Psalm 50, verse 9, I'll take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows in the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That we want to understand that sometimes we have this idea, well, God wants this from me, and we give, and sometimes it's almost sadly we get this idea of it that, well, if I give, then God will bless me in this way. And it's almost like we're trying to bribe God into blessing our life. And we're really missing out. And we see as well in Psalm 51 these words, and we read them earlier this morning, verse 16, it says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." That's the sacrifices He wants us to give of ourselves, of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And so we think of what it's saying here, that God, He isn't just like, it isn't something where He wants our money and our resources, even though it's a way of where we can show honor and worship to Him. And He wants us. He wants, and it's a thought too that we could think, well, maybe He wants me to give my life, that I would die for Him. And that may happen, but we want to realize what He's saying here is that He wants us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That it isn't like the bulls and the goats that were put on the altar. That we are a living sacrifice. That each day we come to God and we offer Him ourselves. And for His use, for His service. And it's interesting, the word there, present, in the Greek is peristami, and it's to place at one's disposal. That where we say, okay, Lord, here am I, send me. Here is my life, do with it whatever You wish to do. That it is Yours, I give it up, and I'm not going to take it back. As well, the idea of present, it also has the idea of presenting something to someone in order for them to examine it and question it. And so we realize that's kind of the idea is, because we realize, as we've talked about, we have various heart issues, things that we struggle with, based on maybe things that have happened in our past, ways we haven't responded properly. And it is our thought as we offer it to Lord that we're wanting Him to examine it, to take it and cleanse it and fix it. That we think of what it says in Psalm 139, where the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's what we want God to do for us, is to search our hearts. And so it comes as we give it to Him. And that's sometimes a reluctance. We're not wanting to give God our hearts because we're worried of what He's going to expose that needs to be fixed. But the fact is He's just like a doctor. He's not going to, He's not doing it to hurt us. He's doing it to help us. Sometimes we need to see when there's something wrong so then it can be addressed properly. And so we want to really be willing to allow Him to do that work in us as we present ourselves to Him. And we want to understand as well, as it says there, that it is our reasonable service. That it's reasonable for us to present our hearts, our souls, our bodies to the Lord. And we think of it in this way, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, as Jesus was partaking of the Last Supper and instituting what we call the Lord's Supper, he makes this statement, verse 19 of Luke 22, "Took bread and gave thanks and brake and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me." And so it's a thought, as we realize God gave His body to be broken for us so that we could be cleansed of our sin, forgiven, justified, made new, adopted into God's family, and blessed with His grace and everything else. They realize if God, the Lord Jesus, gave His body for us, then we would say, yes, it is absolutely reasonable that I would give my body to Him. That He has, in many ways, earned it. And it should be something that is reasonable, something that we're willing to do. But it's kind of the thought, too, is that one has said that the problem with a living sacrifice is it tends to get up off the altar. And that's kind of the idea, is that at different times we can give our lives to the Lord, but then something happens or He's directing us a certain way that we're not sure of, and we're like, wait a minute, I'm taking back control of my life because I'm not sure what You're going to do with it. And that's not what we want to do. That we want to lay it on the altar and keep it on the altar. And even if it's a daily thing, that we make that focus, that we offer ourselves to the Lord for His service. We want to do that. That brings us to our second thought. Not only do we give our hearts by an act of self-sacrifice, it is also an act of submission. It speaks in James 4, verse 7, that we're to submit ourselves to God. And it's the idea that we're to yield our lives to Him. We're to obey Him. We're to subject ourselves. That we may have what we want to do, but God may have something different that He wants us to do. And ours might be something really good, but we always have to recognize God's will is always going to be better. It's going to be, we may have various choices, but it'll be the best choice that we have. And we need to trust Him and submit to His leadership. When there is, sometimes we realize that what we want to do is what He wants to do, and He blesses us. And it talks about that in Psalm 37, verse 4. If we commit our way unto the Lord, and He will give us the desires of our heart. That a lot of times, as we serve Him, that's we get what we were seeking in life. But it's we have to realize that there are going to be times where He's got something else for us, and when there's that conflict, we need to say, "I am going to submit myself to the Lord. I am not going to fight to have my way." Because when we do that, we never win, even if God does give us our own way. That we think of the children of Israel demanding flesh to eat. They were complaining about the manna and asking God to give them something else. And we find that God gave them to it, but to the point where they didn't enjoy it. We actually find, it says of this, this is Psalm 106, verses 14 and 15 of the children of Israel. It says, "But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." And that sometimes, sadly, is we want something and want something, and God says, "Okay, you can have it," but then we've missed out on what He really wanted to give us. And so we want to learn to submit. We want to learn to accept His will as being what's best for us. We have to put Him first. And of course, is the greatest example of this we see in the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He prayed to His Father, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done." He knew what it was going to take to go through the cross, the suffering, and yes, there would be the suffering by the hands of men, but I think the greatest thing was when He faced suffering on the hands of God, when He took upon our sin and He became sin for us. And the wrath of God that should have been poured out on us was instead poured out on Him. That certainly anyone, if they had the option, they would say, "Is there a plan B, another way?" And so that's what He was asking. But yet He said, "Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done." And so we think of how after He prayed that He was in submission to the Lord, He said, "This cup which My Father has given Me, shall not I drink it?" And He was willing to go forward and suffer the shame of the cross and the suffering for our sakes. And so we realize, of course, we are to become like Christ. And so that prayer of His, "Not my thy will, but my, or not my will, but Thine be done," that needs to become our daily prayer. That each day that we say to the Lord, "Okay, it's not what I want, Lord, it's what You want." And we actually see that in what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really the model prayer that the Lord gave, where it says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Then what does it say? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so that's the thing, is that that's what we should be praying, that God's will would be done. And how can we pray that if in our own life we're saying, "Well, God, I want you to do your will somewhere else in this world, but in my own life, I want my own will. That's not going to work. That we realize, God, I want your will to be done, and I want it to start with me. I want your will to be done in my life. And so, as you seek to accomplish your will, as I've given my heart to you, I am not going to fight, I'm not going to fuss and worry. I am submitted to you, and I'm going to do what you would have me to do. And thirdly, we recognize that we give our hearts to God by an act of surrender. Surrender. That God loves us. He knows what is best for us. He has our best interests at heart. He has shown himself to be worthy of our love, worthy of our trust. That he has never let us down. He has never left us nor forsaken us. He has been there with us through difficult times. And he wants to bless us. And so he's not one that we should fight against. It never goes well for us if we do. Because, of course, we know he's going to win one way or the other. And us fighting against him is just... we lose. That's the thing. If we fight against God, we lose. And we can think of that in so many different ways. We miss out on his blessings. We end up suffering his chastening as we get corrected. And we can face a lot of unnecessary pain when we fight against God. And of course, part of that fight is against God is our flesh. That's the part of us that's warring against the spirit that is within us. And we realize that we need to stop fighting the one that loves us. What we need to do is lay down our arms. And it comes really as we learn to crucify our flesh and to surrender totally to God. So if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and this is Paul speaking to the churches of Galatia. He says in verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That Christ gave himself for us, Christ was crucified for us, and so we that are his, we learn to crucify our flesh. That we die to self, so and we instead walk in newness of life. That we walk not in the flesh anymore, but in the Spirit. We see him speak of this further in Galatians 5 and verse 24, where he says, And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And then that's what we have to do. And Paul speaks in another place of how he says, I die daily. That it's something that we have to learn to die to ourselves, to surrender to God, to crucify our flesh, to put it in a place where it has no power anymore. We actually see Jesus speak of this during his time on earth. Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, verses 23 and 24. It says, And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And so that's what the Lord wants us to do, is that we learn each day that we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow Him. That we're not trying to hold on to our life. If we save our life, we're going to lose it. It's going to be wasted. It's not going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. But if we lose our life, if we give it to the Lord, and that's the thing, if we've given our lives to the Lord, it's not like we've lost it. We've actually put it in the best place possible, that He will keep it, and He will do something with it far beyond what we would ever think that we could do. And so it's a thought that we would surrender our heart and our life to God, that we would stop fighting the one that loves us, and we would say, Lord, just I give you my heart. Do with it what only you can do with it. And I just trust you and I yield to you in this. And so what happens when we give our hearts to God? Of course, sometimes we're afraid, oh, well, He's going to call me to be some missionary somewhere, or He's going to call me to be a place where I'm going to be persecuted, and all this stuff is, terrible stuff is going to happen. And of course, I think that's really the flesh that's trying to scare us. Because honestly, if that is what He did with us, if He's given our hearts to Him, He's going to be with us. He's going to watch over us. He's not going to send us somewhere and then just abandon us. The fact is that if we give our heart to God, that's where we truly find a fullness to our life that we never expected. That it puts us in a place, really, as we give our hearts to God, it puts us in a place where God can really bless us beyond anything we experienced before. And it's a thought that life is much more full when it is empty of self. And I'll repeat that. Life is much more full when it is empty of self. That when we're trying to run the show, or we're trying to have our own way, try to do our own thing, that our life is full, but it's full of stuff that doesn't really matter. And we find that our life, these things that we pursue, we can spend our whole lives pursuing, and it's vanity and vexation of spirit. If we're always trying to live for ourselves, then we find a life that's empty. But when we learn to empty ourselves of ourselves, that's when God and His Spirit can enter in and fill us with His fullness and bless us in a way that we would never expect. And it's as we yield every part of our life, that we open every door in the house that is our heart and allow the Lord to come in and to dwell us. That's when we experience His fullness. And it brings us comfort and healing and guidance and power to our lives that we never experienced before. And the thing is God is the great physician. He wants to work in our hearts. And really, a lot of it, what it is we kind of have to sign on the permission slip to allow Him to do His work. That He says, give me your heart. And if we sign it away, then that's when He can really start to work. And so may each of us give our hearts and our lives to God today and every day so that He can do a powerful work within us and through us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your Word. And Lord, we just pray You would help us to understand what it means to give to You our hearts, and let us do that fully and honestly, Lord, not just in word but in truth. Lord, just that You might heal us, You might transform our hearts, make them new, and use our lives for You. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand, and we'll turn to one last hymn before we close today. And that is number 394. 394, I Surrender All. Number 394, on the first verse.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender. I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender all. forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior wholly thine. Fill me, fill the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you again for your goodness to us. We just thank you for the great gift of your Son that you gave for our sins, for our salvation. We just pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing, Lord. Today, guide us as we travel and apart from one another, Lord. Bring us all back together safely in a few weeks. And just help us, Lord, that we would walk with you and that we would give our hearts wholly to you, that you might use us and bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.